Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this very special edition of the Strang Report podcast. It's a podcast that encourages you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I have two very special guests, one of whom is a new friend and one of whom I've known since the 1980s, at least.
Yeah.
His name is Dr. Howard Foltz. He's the president emeritus. We'll find out a little bit more about it in a minute. For a ministry called AIMS, and they have just launched a brand new initiative called Light 3500, about which is going to help fulfill the Great Commission, and we'll find out all about it in just a minute. You're not going to want to miss this podcast, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome, Dr. Foltz. It's so good to reconnect with you and also to meet Joshua Bold, who is the new president. And I want to find out everything that's been happening with AIMS. I've been connected loosely with your ministry since the 1980s. We've written about you over the years, and you even invited me one time to be on a board of reference, and I have such a high regard for you in the ministry, and I'm just excited to hear about all these new things that are happening. So welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Steve. Good to see you again on my computer screen.
That's right. We're recording this on Zoom, so we're looking at each other, even though the listeners are going to have to imagine how good looking we are.
Right.
That will be a spread for me. Yeah.
Well, Joshua, it's nice to meet you, and you have a huge responsibility and huge shoes to fill in. For those who don't know Howard Foltz, he told me that he is now 81, so that means I've known you since you were, late 40s, early 50s, and right. You are the best-looking 81-year-old I think I've ever seen.
Oh, well, thank you.
You look very young, but now you're called President Emeritus, and you've brought in Josh Bold to be the president. And Josh, you have a very interesting background, but I want you to tell me and my listeners about it rather than me trying to repeat a little bit I know about your life and ministry.
Well, Steve, we're really excited to be with you today. And I just want to say thank you for meeting with us. And so Dr. Foltz is just one of those guys. It turns from 6 degrees of separation in the earth to 1 degree. If you've met Howard Foltz, he's been everywhere and done a lot in a lot of different nations. And so I've been with AIMS now for 9 years, been the president now for about 2 years. My wife and I served as full-time missionaries in northern Iraq for several years. And then we've served also as local church pastors and missions pastors before taking this role at AIMS as missions mobilizers. And so we really have a strong value for the local church. We understand the local church is God's distribution system and his ecosystem. And we see how he's working to complete the Great Commission through mobilizing missionaries from local churches around the world.
Maybe I should explain to those who may not be as familiar with your ministry as I am that AIMS stands for Acceleration in Mission Strategies. So, Dr. Foltz, why don't you just give my listeners a quick update about why AIMS exists and kind of what it's done over the years. And then that will be a good segue into talking about what you're planning now.
Well, we talk a lot about the Great Commission, and there are five in the New Testament. We really use Acts 1:8 a lot because those were the last words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he commanded us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Right now, the end of the earth is over 7,000 unreached people groups, totaling 3.2 billion people who live where there's not a church, there's not a missionary, maybe they've never seen a Bible. Many die and go to heaven, never having met a single Christian of any type or kind. So that is our goal, is to obey the Great Commission and help churches and individuals, businesses, organizations to come along and partner with us, and let's finish the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And I was reviewing this morning and thinking of our time together, a listing of the 100 largest unreached people groups in the world. So that would mean these people that live here, almost 2 billion people, do not have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no churches in their area, their village. Some of them never even heard the name Jesus. And in perusing this listing of unreached peoples this morning, I found that out of the 100 largest, 22 of them do not have a single born-again Christian. We use the Joshua Project database, and this comes from them. They are partners in our ministry. And so we live, draw breath, and exist for finishing the Great Commission and helping these people hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for what God has done in the past, but we've been asking God for power shifts so we could see a move from 30, 60 to 100-fold and see a great end-time harvest come in. And the people we are targeting are not the low-hanging fruit. They are the highest of the high-hanging fruit. So it takes special strategies and special initiatives to reach them. We're very thankful for technology that we are using. Joshua will explain that. So for 22 years, my wife and I did Teen Challenge. And then since 1985, we've done AIMS as well. I always say I wasn't smart enough to have one job, got to have two. So we're thankful for the fruit he's brought in through the AIMS ministry since 1985. But we're expecting a great harvest. And we're just thankful for the word going out through this podcast that we are available to help churches, individuals, businesses, Bible schools, everyone, to be strategic in missions and focused on those that have never heard the name Jesus.
Well, before the podcast is over, I want you to tell the listeners how they can, you know, connect with you, learn more about your ministry. But Joshua, why don't you tell us, you know, you had a successful career as a missionary to a very important part of the world, Iraq, and you've had other ministry positions. What drew you to AIMS, and what are you hoping to accomplish?
I went through an AIMS training while we were back in the States giving birth to our first child. Actually, my wife was giving birth. I was just there as a participant. We were invited to go to an AIMS training on strategic missions. And, you know, we lived in a very tough region. At the time, there was very limited access to electricity and water. We had several really near-death experiences. My back was broken in an altercation that I had. And so we had been through a lot, and we had baptized 16 people during that time. I praise God for those 16 baptisms. But we saw once the nationals accepted the Lord and began to witness how much more effective they were and how fewer obstacles there were to the gospel. And we went through AIMS training and understood that if we could partner with other people to mobilize indigenous movements, we could see the gospel move and see exponential fruit. And so we believe that every missionary that's called needs to obey and go, but we really want to focus on mobilizing the national population, near culture missionaries that are indigenous to a region. You know, when they come off the field, they're still in the field. Their support system is their family. Those people are there. And so it costs much less money to send them. They tend to have a lot quicker cultural penetration. And we just love being a part of supporting those national movements. And so that was my intro to AIMS. And I'm so excited. Now we have hundreds of partner missionaries in over 27 countries that we're able to support them, encourage them, train them, come alongside them with holistic strategies and see indigenous movements that sustain and multiply. And so we're very excited about being a part of that. It's hard not to be the one that gets to live in the field. My wife and I would love to, you know, we would love to be back in Kurdistan, you know, but we feel that what we're doing right now is what the Lord's asked of us. So we want
to. Well, you live in Colorado Springs, which is a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
And what you're saying sounds very strategic, which is part of your name, coming up with strategies. So this is exciting. Yeah. And so that's a good springboard to talk about Light 3500. I know it has to do with Native missionaries, but, you know, why the name?
Well, Steve, we feel, I interrupted Joshua. I'll just be real quick. We feel we've been going too slow. And actually, when it comes to reaching the unreached, we've been going backwards. In the last 10 years, the number of unreached people groups has escalated. The individual count.
How is that possible, Howard? Because do people groups subdivide and become two people groups? How does that happen?
Well, they can, but a lot of it is the internal focus of churches and movements and organizations to take care of what they can see and take care of, what shall we say, raise money. And to invest heavily in unreached peoples, which would be nice if the end of the earth from Acts 1:8 received 25% of church resources so they could be reached, because most of the missionaries that are going out today are going to already evangelized places. And the unreached who have never heard the gospel are getting 0.5% of the new missionary force. And so some unreached people groups split, but also there are unreached people groups that live in very difficult places.
You're discovering new groups that were unknown before.
Well, joshuaproject.org, the database we use, they probably know virtually every unreached people group, and they got it in their electronic system. But we are discovering new ones, yes, and we report those back to Joshua Project. But the thing is, so many churches are focused on their own future. And that is important, of course, because we need more resources generated. But we must, you know, a friend of mine says, if I have four children and only feed three of them, and in this case, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and I don't feed the fourth one at all, I'm an irresponsible father. And so we're wanting to really help people understand that 41 to 42% of the world population lives where they cannot hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is a big challenge, and we're giving our lives to it.
And Joshua, now you've joined this vision. Tell me what you're hoping to accomplish with Light 3500, and also maybe how my listeners and I can partner with you.
Well, Steve, I know that whenever I felt like I was called to missions, it felt like this unattainable place. Maybe I wasn't spiritual enough, or I hadn't traveled enough. And we really want to take the mysticism out of missions and help every believer understand that they can play a role in reaching the unreached. It's not for a select few, but it's for every person who has called on the name of Jesus. And so the initiative of Light 3500 is an initiative birthed in prayer to target and reach 3,500 people groups with the gospel in a five-year period to initiate new missions movement into these 3,500 people groups over 5 years through developing partnerships, mobilizing training, and then seeing holistic strategies deployed through national indigenous efforts. And so Our goal would be that people could come alongside this vision in prayer, financial support. If they are themselves a part of a ministry that does some type of holistic development or discipleship training or literature creation or distribution, that it would generate partnerships and that we could work together to mobilize a new missions force to these unreached groups. So we call it people group adoption, and people can learn more about it on our website at aims.org. But we've created a state-of-the-art database and tracking system. We don't know of anything else like it in the missions world, where people can connect around people groups and deploy these strategies and actually watch in real time the progress of the gospel transform an ethnic group somewhere in the unreached world. And so our goal is that every church, every Christian would become active in reaching the unreached. And you know, nothing has to die for this to happen. We don't have to forsake our local church outreach. I'm a part of my local church greeting team. I love when I get to greet people in my local church. We do local church outreach here in Colorado Springs and local outreach to the population here. But we believe that every Christian has access to the harvest, especially in this age when we can have podcasts and video chats. Man, we can get the gospel to these unreached people and expedite this process.
Well, that's exciting. And, you know, over the years, mainly through Charisma Magazine, we've tried to cover lots of different missions groups. I've gone on missions trips myself. I've visited missionaries in, you know, various parts of the world. And I know that there is a lot of talk in mission circles about unreached people groups. The average person in the church has probably heard the term, doesn't know much about it, but among the leadership, people talk about this. So there are various people who are trying to do this. How is AIMS different than some of the others? And other, what niche are you, or what need are you fulfilling? And how do you work with the other groups? Is it a divide and conquer? You know, I know it's not everybody come under our banner and we'll do it all of ourselves. So I just wanted to invite you to kind of to elaborate on this.
Well, you know, our saying around AIMS is that we want to be a partner in strategic missions. So we do not need ownership. We do not need recognition. And we do not need control of the work that's happening among the unreached. What we're motivated by is seeing the fruit of harvest. When people who have never known the love of Christ can experience his love and see transformation in their lives and their families and their communities. And so we're very excited about partnering with other ministries that are working with unreached people groups. And there's even a platform for that. People can learn more about that on our website. But yeah, we really believe that to get this done, we have to unify those that are already active in the region, that we can partner, we can share information and resources in a secure and trustworthy way without exposing the work to unnecessary risk, that we can partner and share our experiences and our skill sets and our resources and see more happen faster through partnership. So, but what we've seen in the last year, we offer an adoption process where people could sponsor a native missionary for as little as $30 a month, all the way up to about $300 a month. And, you know, we don't realize it, but we can actually send full-time missionaries sometimes for as little as $30 a month in some of these places. And there are people who are called, they're willing to go, their churches have affirmed the call of God in their life, and they'll go and preach the gospel among these unreached groups. They just don't have the seed funding to get there. And so, you know, our goal is to connect people who say, man, my $30, what can it accomplish? Not much. Maybe an upgraded Netflix membership, right? But that $30 can be the difference between an eternal life and death of an unreached group. And the sad thing is that there's a missionary many times ready and willing to go that hasn't been sent. And so we're hoping that through Light 3500, we can partner the body of Christ with strategic opportunities to personally be a part of sending these Native missionaries to reach these unreached groups?
Well, I was just going to ask about, this is beginning to be clear to me. So you find these people, you recruit them, and then you basically support them, because I guess they really wouldn't have opportunities to raise money themselves. A lot of missionaries, whether it's with YWAM or Campus Crusade, go out and kind of raise their own support. Missionaries with denominations mostly go church to church and raise their support. And if they're Westerners, you know, they have to raise at least enough to live on by some kind of Western standard. Mm-hmm. And I had some family members who a number of years ago were missionaries to Singapore and later Hong Kong. And, you know, it would take them a whole year to get their budget. And they had to raise, you know, their travel back and forth and for their kids to go to school and all this kind of stuff. It was a lot of money. It just was. And they weren't, you know, they weren't living like rich people. Mm-hmm. But $30 a month, are you kidding that people can live on that? So what is that? Just why does that a year? You know, it's just, it's like $500.
Yeah, $360 a year. And I don't propose that anyone can live well on that amount, no matter where you live. But, you know, one thing that we try to do at Ames is we really try to work from the get-go in our partnerships with Indigenous leaders to develop strategies for sustainability. And so, you know, we want them to develop and plant churches that can sustain the work and even begin to give to missions from their first meeting. But I was in South Asia in March with one of our field workers going village to village and preaching the gospel. And one of the villages we met in, they took up an offering for us, Steve, and it was a bag of snap peas. These people have never touched paper currency. They live a subsistence lifestyle and they grow snap peas. So their offering to this church planter and to us for coming and preaching, they wanted to tithe. They tithed a bag of snap peas, about a Walmart bag size of snap peas. And so it's not that the nationals aren't giving, it's sometimes that they're giving doesn't equate to monetary substance that can send these missionaries. We want
to. So how much money needs to be raised? Are there goals? Are you trying to put so many people on the field? Maybe there are some business people that would like to sponsor. Sometimes there are churches. There may be independent churches. You know, they're not part of a denominational missions outreach. And they may be actually looking for a worthwhile ministry to get behind. How does all that work?
We'll walk an individual, a business, or an organization through a people group sponsorship. It can be as simple as going to our website, click the give page, and adopt a people group. And so we would ideally like to see $3,600 given to every 3,500 people groups. It's not that much money. It's about $12 million total to increase the number of field workers in the 1040 window by 10%. And so imagine if we could increase the number of laborers by 10% in 5 years. And these laborers, Steve, we're tracking their movement. We get reports every 3 months on the number of people that they've shared the gospel with, how many people have been healed, how many people have received Christ or been baptized, or how many churches are planted. But yeah, our desire would be that every Christian could engage in this, you know. But ideally, with $3,600, we can send a Native missionary in many of these countries full time. We can partition a portion of that for holistic sustainability efforts so that after 1 year, they're not completely depending on Western funding. And we track the movement and connect these people that are giving to the work, so that if there is a need for ongoing finance, they can be made aware of it. But we need multiple missionaries deployed for all of these people groups as soon as possible. You know, every day over 50,000 people die and they never heard the name of Jesus. And I don't know about you, I grew up in a Christian environment, but I was not a Jesus follower. In fact, in my younger days, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And I had heard the gospel many times, but April 2005, my life was transformed by an encounter with the love of Jesus that I couldn't deny. And so we've got to get the gospel message to these unreached groups. You know, while we're sitting here together in this podcast, there will be over 1,000 people that enter eternity never having had a choice or a chance to hear about the love of Christ. And I believe that together, through this people group adoption strategy and mobilization process, we could see that number change.
Boy, that is so exciting, and it's such a great vision, and it seems attainable.
Yes.
And we just need to get more people to buy into it. So as we wrap up this podcast, Dr. Foltz, I'll give you the last word.
Well, right after I was saved at Calvary Temple in Denver, Colorado, Dr.
Charles
Bob,
Blair, I knew him Charles, well.
Yes, yes, and they spoke of you. 3 weeks after I was saved, Dr. Bob Pierce came to Calvary Temple, and
he's world. He was the founder of World Vision.
Right, and he shared a statement that has broke my heart and changed my life. I'd just been saved 3 weeks. But he said, let's all of us let our hearts be broken with what breaks God's heart. And I think what breaks God's heart more than anything is people going into eternity never knowing that he sent a Savior that would die for them because he loved them. And they never heard that message. And so I think a priority for us to know Christ is to somehow prioritize some time for prayer, some funding, and other resources to help finish the task. Jesus pronounced it on Calvary. He said, it is finished. As far as he was concerned, his job on earth was done. Now we have a life to give, breath to breathe, here in America and in the Western world particularly, and in other developing parts of the world. There are great resource bases being built in churches and organizations. My appeal is, let's not glean up the second time to all the fence rows. Let's give generously in prayer and finance and effort to help those that are passing into eternity right now that have never met any kind of Christian at all, let alone hearing the name Jesus. If not us, who? If not when? What about now?
Well said, and I'm just so impressed you have a new donor. I want to partner with you guys, and we'll sort that out later, but I want to encourage my listeners to partner and to go to aims.org, that's AIMS.org, where you can find out lots of information, and we need to get this word out. We need to get the body of Christ to a lot of people have woken up, but we need to get them to wake up to how serious this is. And at the risk of getting political, one of the reasons why I say we need to vote a certain way is so America can be strong.
Yeah.
So that American Christians can spread the gospel around the world. And if the wrong forces get into power in our country, those freedoms are going to be limited if our economy is bad. Mm-hmm. So when I say get involved politically, and I won't say any more than that right now, I think that there's a gospel reason to vote a certain way. And it's not just to have things be smoother here at home and our kids not taught weird things in school. You know, that's part of it. But it's really this whole effort of missions, because really America has sent most of the missionaries around the world. There have been other great countries, Scandinavia and England have done a lot. Now places like Brazil and Korea are starting to send people out. But there's so much more that can be done with indigenous people. Yes. Who know the culture, and they don't need to live an American lifestyle. Nothing wrong with living an American lifestyle, but I mean, you know, you've got to have a job and everything else to do that. So I am so thankful that you guys have stepped up and are doing this. And Dr. Howard Foltz, you have been faithful for so many years and you've accomplished so much and changed so many lives. And now it looks like Joshua is stepping into your oversized shoes. I just want to, you know, do our part and get the word out through Charisma Media. So I want to thank you again. I said that I would give Dr. Fultz the last word, and then I took the last word. So I'll thank my listeners for listening. We'll be writing about this on charismanews.com, but share this podcast. I don't say that on every single podcast, but I have, and the shares start going up and up and up. And now I pass 4.7 million. And it's because people like you listen every day and they share it with others. And we want, this is very important. If you know someone who has a heart for missions, maybe is not familiar with AIMS, if you know a church, send it to them. Put it on social media. Each of us have a sphere of influence, and we can do our part to spread the gospel around the world, from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Thank you for listening to this very special edition of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.